We shall now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And our text for tonight is verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Some people think that the Christian faith is just a matter of experiences. And there's great emphasis in our day upon experiences and feeling good and feeling wonderful and seeing wonderful things. And the charismatic movement, for example, it lays great stress upon experiences and emotional thrills. There's other churches and they think that the Christian faith is a matter of beliefs. The Reformed churches lay a lot of stress upon belief and having the right doctrines. Other churches lay a lot of stress on ritual. The Roman Catholic Church has a lot of stress laid upon ritual. And then other churches, the liberal churches, lay a lot of stress upon love and good works. Well, actually, all these four things are things that we should seek in our churches. We need experiences, and we need to experience God and know God and be conscious of His presence. We also need the right beliefs, the teaching. It's there for us in the Scriptures. God gave us a Bible. Why? So that we would know about Him, what He's like, and so that we would know how we're to behave ourselves in this world. And in our church we have ritual as well. Worship is very important. Drawing near to God and calling upon His name. And, of course, good works have their place as well. Love. And that's the point that has largely been brought before us here. The Christian faith is not simply an airy-fairy kind of thing. It's not simply vague views. It also demands action, practice. We are to live out the Christian faith. And we are to live loving, godly, obedient lives. So then, we are striving for a full Christianity with the right beliefs, the right worship, the right experiences of God, but also with practical Christian living. And that's what we have here. So let's look then at the four commands that are given to us in this verse. The first is, honour all men. Now we read together in James chapter 2. We are told there, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. James pictures something. What if there came into your assembly a man with a gold ring and beautiful clothes and obviously very wealthy man? Well, maybe a gold ring wouldn't stand out too much nowadays, but if somebody comes in, maybe drives up with an expensive car and comes out in an expensive suit and so on, you can see the man's rolling with money. Would we give him a special seat? Would we fuss over him? Somebody else comes tottering in, dressed maybe in smelly rags. And do we say, well, you can stand over there. You can sit under my footstool. Well, it ought not to be so. It's not a matter of, because one person is wealthy, You give respect to them because another person is poor. You despise them. No. Honor all men. Give honor to all, whoever they are, whatever their background. Honor all men. Some, they may be wealthy, they may be poor. Makes no difference. It shouldn't. On Sunday night, we were talking about men and women and the role of women. And we spoke and emphasized the essential equality of men and women. We are all equal under God. Men and women are in the image of God. Men and women are saved by the same death of Christ for them. Men and women are heading to the same heaven. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free. Ye are all one in Christ. And so, honor all men. Honor all women. Respect all. So when some visitor comes in, maybe this visitor perhaps is a person who comes from the free church somewhere and they know their way around and they look very much at home, and somebody else comes in and maybe they look quite uncertain and they're not used to the church or whatever, both should be treated exactly the same. Both should be honored. Whoever, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, black or white, honor all. Why? Well, honor all men because all are made in the image of God. And that gives to people immense dignity. In fact, one of the Psalms, Psalm 82, is quoted by Jesus. In Psalm 82, you find the words, "Ye are gods." And Jesus says, if those to whom the word of God comes are called gods, surely he wasn't making too big a claim when he called himself God. "Ye are gods." In a sense, we're like gods. And we're like gods because we're made in God's image. Now, we were made perfectly in the image of God in the beginning. In the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Knowing God, righteous with God, holy in God's presence. And given dominion over the creatures, man was made as the kind of king of creation. The final act of God's creation was making man in his own image to rule the world. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Rule over it. Be like God. Be creative like God. And then you remember man's sin. And he lost a lot of the image. The image of God. Sin came in, unrighteousness, sinfulness, losing the knowledge of God. Death entered, sickness, old age, infirmity, pain, trouble, tragedies. All these sort of things came in. But yet, there's still a little bit of the image there. Man is a bit like an old palace. The windows are broken. The doves are flying in. You go up to it and you can see that it once had a glory, the pillars. There's still some of the plaster work here. Some of the carved wood. And it's a very impressive building. Even although the roof is falling in. Well, that's man, isn't it? Man is like a palace that's broken down and ruined. And that's why in Genesis 9 verse 6, murder is condemned so severely. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. God made man in his own image. And if you kill another man, another woman, you are attacking God and the image of God. And it's something so serious that the punishment should be very, very serious. Ye are gods. You know, when you see a whiny there, an alcoholic sitting on the pavement with his little plastic cup in front of him begging, you're seeing somebody who's in the image of God. The image has been ruined, but it's still the image of God. Honor all men, even those who are filthy and degraded. The image of God is still there in a certain way. You know, people talk about animals and the intelligence of some animals. And just recently, they'll talk about maybe animals using tools. And just recently I saw something on the internet about chimpanzees. And this scientist was arguing that chimpanzees were religious. Chimpanzees were religious. And the way that this was being worked out was that these chimpanzees were gathering round a tree and they were throwing stones at the tree. And so the tree was supposed to be some sacred tree. And this was kind of a religious ritual that they were going through. How foolish. God made man in his own image, with a body in the image of the beast. But the beast is not in the image of God. The animal. No. How foolish. But people like, this is, you see, the way with man. Always removing, trying to take away the things that make man glorious. Trying to deface man, as it were. Trying to degrade man and make man just like one other animal. A man that, and an animal itself just came from evolution and it's all just a matter of chance. But no, a man is like God. Made in the image of God, made with a conscience, made with a reason, made with intelligence, made to worship, made with dignity to spend his eternity with God. Honor all men. Honor all men. Yes, we are to honor all. Wherever, whoever, give respect to all. But then secondly, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Respect all, but love the brotherhood. Now, the commandment tells us to love our neighbour as ourselves. And our neighbour can be our enemy. Our neighbour can be the unconverted. Our neighbour can be the person who's nasty to us and hurts us in different ways, but we're to love our enemy. But when it comes to the brotherhood, love your enemy as yourself. But when it comes to the brotherhood, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that's a higher standard. Because how did Christ love us? He loved us more than he loved himself. He loved us so much that he died for us. So love the brotherhood so much that you'd sacrifice your life for them. The brotherhood are those who are yours in Christ. You know, we hear about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and in other countries. And the Muslim Brotherhood are these radical Islamists, people who are, who see jihad as their way of life, and who think that nothing could be better than to die fighting in a jihad, and then they would go straight to heaven. Islamists. They believe in killing the infidels and the Christians. That's their brotherhood. But we as Christians have a brotherhood, the Christian brotherhood. Very different. Our life is good works. Our life should be love. Our life should be respecting our fellow men. Our life should be turning the other cheek to those who hate us and despitefully use us. Remember you're a brotherhood. Remember that God the Father called you out of the world. Out of the worldly world. Out from amongst the ungodly. You've been called out to be His. And the Spirit of God has entered into you. And you've been born again. Jesus, the Son of God, died for you. And been born again, indwelt by the Spirit, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are justified. You are adopted into the family of God. Think of how privileged you are. One of God's children. You belong to a great family. Your sons and daughters of the King, princes and princesses. Every other brotherhood ends with death. The closest relationship we know in this world is marriage. And if there's a Christian married to somebody who's not a Christian, when death comes, they'll be eternally separated from one another. Forever. But the Christian brotherhood, it lasts forever. Brothers in life, brothers in death, and brothers in eternity. It's natural to love your brother. It should be natural for you as a Christian to love your Christian brothers. It's our duty. We must work at it. We're commanded to do it. It can be hard to love some Christian brothers because maybe they're not very nice people, and sometimes what they do is a little bit offensive to us, or maybe they get on our nerves in some way, and we all have different personalities, and there's things that bother us and trouble us and upset us. But if Christ loved you and me with all our sins and faults and died for us, surely we can love our Christian brothers and Christian sisters, whatever their faults might be. Christ forgave us, we must forgive one another. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Thirdly, fear God. The essence of true religion is to fear God. Psalm 111 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of wise living. The wicked, they have no fear of God in their hearts. That's the height of ungodliness. It's the height of wickedness. To have no fear of God. But in contrast to that, we read in Job chapter 1 verse 1 about Job, that he was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Feared God and hated evil. Now there's two elements, two essential elements in the fear of God. First, there's reverence, respect, awe, an awareness of the greatness of God, giving God His place. There's obedience to Him. And that's vital. In the Lord's Prayer, we're to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. The angels fear God and keep God's will perfectly in heaven. And we're to pray that we would keep God's will and others would keep God's will here on earth. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. In a sense, you could say that's all religion, isn't it? Fear God and keep His commandments. Give God His place and walk in His ways. The Bible tells us what God requires from us, how we are to live in this world, and we're to treat the Bible with respect. It's not a book simply to be dipped into. It's a book to be read, learned, absorbed, practiced. It's God's word to us. This is what God has to say. And we have to study it, to think about it, and to put it into practice in our lives. It's the rule, and the only rule to direct us. What a privilege we have. We have lots of books in this world, but there's one book and God wrote it. Only one book that God wrote. This is it. All scripture is God breathed. It's all God's word. Read it. Absorb it. Practice it. Fear God. And then the second element in the fear of God is love. There's love in the fear of God. The true fear of God involves love. Psalm 115, verse 11. He that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Fear Him, but it's not the fear of devils who run away from Him, or the fear of Adam after he had sinned and he hides himself in the garden. It's not slavish fear like that. It's a fear that runs to God and trusts in God and delights in being in the arms of God and commits our life to God. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers He did hear. That is the fear of God. Loving God. Cornelius, Acts 10, verse 2, was a devout man and one that feared God. Let God be big in your life. Live your life in His presence. Remember that His eye is upon you wherever you are. So, what does it mean to fear God, to respect Him and love Him? Give Him His place. Let God be your God. Let Him rule over you and trust Him totally. Take Him as your Savior and your Master. Lord, I'm yours. What will you have me to do? That's a fear of God. And then there's one final further commandment here. Honor the king. We have no king in this country, but we have a queen. Honor the queen. Honor the queen and honor her government. Honor the Prime Minister and the Cabinet and the Members of Parliament. Honor our Scottish Parliament, our First Minister, our Cabinet, our Members of the Scottish Parliament. Honor the police, who are the officers of the Queen. The judges and the sheriffs, who also are carrying out the wishes of the Queen. The civil servants. Honour the king outwardly, but also inwardly, respect. We have a duty to obey all the laws of the country, all of them, whether we like them or not, whether we think they're wise or not. We have a duty to obey them, apart from any command which would be contrary to Scripture. Remember, Peter was commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus, and he said, I can't obey that. I must obey God rather than men. The Chinese government have a rule that people are only allowed to have one child, and if they have more than one child, the second child is to be aborted. But no Christian can approve of abortion. It might be forced on them, but they would never readily and voluntarily murder their own unborn child. So, you see, there can be commands which are contrary to the Bible, but every other command is to be obeyed. Honor the king. Honor the king, whatever the commands are. For example, nowadays, there's some people who are saying it's all right to smoke cannabis. There's been something brought out by the Liberal Party recently. The Liberals are supporting this legalization of cannabis. But whether we like it or not, at this point in time, cannabis is illegal. So therefore, it is wrong. It is sinful against God for people to smoke cannabis. Honor the king. Honor his commandments. Honor the government. What is laid down is there for us. And it is our bounden duty to keep these commandments. Commandments with regard to driving, use of seat belts, speed, whatever it is, parking, and all sorts of things, we have a duty as much as we can to keep all the laws of the country. Honor the king. Honor the queen. Honor the government. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. Is it right to pay tribute to Caesar, they asked? Surely it's not right to be paying taxes to this tyrant Caesar. Jesus said, show me the tax money. And they brought him a coin. Whose face is that? He asked. It's Caesar's face. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God. Your heart has God's face on it. You are in the image of God. Give your heart and your life to God. Render to God the things that belong to God. Give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Honor the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow before the king. When they were asked to bow to worship the idol, they refused, and that was right. When Daniel was asked not to pray to the God of heaven, he opened the windows of his house towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees and he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had done before. So if government commands us to do something that is morally wrong, we must refuse. But everything else, it must be obeyed. That's a scripture. And if we're going to be God's people, we have to obey his commandments. Honor all men, so respect for everyone. Whoever they are, respect them all. Love the brotherhood. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Care for them and show your love towards them. Fear God. Respect him, honor him, obey him, and honor the king. be honorable citizens, obedient citizens, honoring the king and doing what is commanded of you in your country.